Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. A couple of years ago, the marketing world was ignited with a new understanding of how to influence customers' decision-making. The catalyst was the book Fascinate, Your 7 Triggers to Persuasion and Captivation by Sally Hogshead. Now Sally has applied her research to how people can use fascination to attract attention and influence others. And she has a new book called How the World Sees You, Discover Your Highest Value Through the Science of Fascination. The book just became a number one Wall Street Journal bestseller over the weekend, and Sally is here today to talk with us. So I welcome my colleague and my role model and inspiration, Sally Hogshead. Hi, Sally.
Oh, Denise, what an awesome introduction. Thank you.
I get this
new flurry of excitement when you said number one Wall Street Journal bestseller, because it's so new to me. It's like somebody's handing me a newborn. Thank you.
Oh, well, I am so excited for you, and congratulations. Now, I'm sure that many of my listeners are familiar with you and your tremendous background and achievement, so I actually just want to jump right into the book, How the World Sees You, because it prompted so many questions for me. So first, let's start with why fascinate? What does that word mean in the context of how you use it?
Yeah, why do we need to fascinate people? Why can't we just earn their attention or interest them? Well, if we look at branding gives us the answer. When a brand simply earns attention, the brand doesn't have a close relationship. It doesn't develop advocates and evangelists. The brand has to compete on price. The brand might be a commodity. In the same way, when you fascinate your listener, they're totally focused on you. When you fascinate somebody, they're in a neurological state of intense emotional focus. So imagine that you and I are talking over the course of, you and I are sitting across the table from each other. If all I'm doing is earning your interest, then you might be thinking about your next meeting. Your mind might be thinking about what's going on, your iPhone messages that are scrolling in. But if I'm fascinating you, then you're completely focused on what I'm saying. And our personalities have a specific quality that allows us to fascinate our listener or fascinate our customer or our prospect. And we can tap into that when we can focus on those ways in which we're most likely to earn this intense emotional attention from our listener. And we're going to be far more successful. We're going to be more likely to be trusted, believed, liked. And most of all, we're going to be most likely to build relationships.
Wow, great. Well, now, before we jump into the specific personality and advantages, there are a few quotes from the book that I'd just like to read to you and have you comment on them a bit. So the first is, you say, it matters less how you see the world. It matters more how the world sees you. Talk to us about that.
Yes. You already know how you see the world. You grew up being told how you see the world. If you've ever done a test like Myers-Briggs or StrengthsFinder or DISC, a traditional personality assessment tells you how you see the world. And this used to be really important information to have. But as things become more crowded, distracted, competitive, it doesn't really matter how you see the world. What really matters is how the world sees you. At your best. In other words, how does your customer see you? How does your listener see you? What do people value in you? When you know what people value in you, when you understand your personality's most professionally attractive qualities, you can simply focus on those. You can stop being a commodity. You can stop trying to be all things to all people. And when we go into companies and we study the high performers, we found that there's one thing that high performers consistently do differently. High performers don't try to be all things to all people. They don't try to be great at everything. They try to over-deliver in one particular area. And so people associate a certain area of success with high performers. for example, we've studied 300,000 professionals now. And when we go into companies and we see what are the top teams doing differently, how are they getting the results that they're getting, we see that they don't try to be the vanilla of their category. In other words, they don't try to just be pretty good at everything by having a bigger marketing budget. Instead, they over-deliver like pistachio, that they have something very distinctive, memorable, and a very particular way that they communicate. And your personality can do that too once you understand how the world sees you at your best.
And that makes so much sense. You said something in the middle there about not trying to be all things to all people, and I think that is so true. I think in our desire to make the most impact, we sometimes lose focus or lose the idea that we're much better off if we actually do focus and really establish an expertise in one area.
You don't have to change who you are. You have to become more of who you are. The problem that most of us have when we think about ourselves and our professional success and how we as individuals add value is we try to focus on our strengths. When we focus on our strengths, we're comparing ourselves to other people, and we're on this exhausting hamster wheel trying to outdo everybody else. If you look at great brands, brands don't focus on strengths. Brands focus on differences. If you can focus on your differences, in other words, what is some way that you deliver something that's just slightly different, just a tiny bit different than everybody else, then it makes it much easier for you to stand out based on who you already are. You don't have to change who you are. You have to become more of who you are. The greatest value that you can add is to become more of yourself.
Right, and you actually say that, you know, strengths, you know, people can outdo, but one of the quotes you have is, your personality is the only aspect of your work that nobody can copy. Can you explain that?
Sure. I started for the first half of my career, I was a creative director in advertising. I was a creative director with brands like Coca-Cola, Nike, Mini Cooper, and when two brands that I worked on early in my career were BMW and Mini Cooper. And you probably know the BMW tagline. For many years, it was the ultimate driving machine.
Mm-hmm.
And when BMW describes its product as being the ultimate driving machine, they're not just talking about the product. They're talking about the mindset of the company. They're talking about the people who work there, the people who buy from them. And people choose BMW because it's the ultimate driving machine. And BMW carves out a really slick in the minds of its consumers.
Sense. Now, I know that you would like to talk about my assessment. So in order to do that, would you please explain the seven advantages and then what an archetype is, and then we'll get into my specific results.
Yes. When I first began studying this 10 years ago, I began looking at brands and how brands communicate. What is successful, or as you might say, what great brands do. And looking in terms of their communication patterns, I found that if we look at all types of communication, fascinating messages have certain things in common, and I call them advantages. Seven different ways that messages earn attention and fascinate the listener. For example, a message with passion is emotional. It creates an instant bond. great brands and fascinating communicators understand the way in which they're most likely to earn the attention and to fascinate their listener. You have a primary advantage, then a secondary advantage. Your primary advantage is prestige. Prestige is about higher standards. You speak the language of excellence. And anybody who knows your work knows this is true of you, that you're always looking at how you can elevate things and improve things. Your secondary advantage is power. Power is the language of confidence. You're an authority. You're in control. You're a natural leader. When we combine your primary advantage with your secondary advantage, you are the victor. So, Denise, this means that you're going to be most successful in situations in which people are looking for a leader who's respected, who's competitive, who's result-oriented. You're not going to be successful in situations in which somebody's looking for a follower, somebody who's comfortable with mediocrity, somebody who just wants to clock out at 5 o'clock. That's not you. That would be other people.
So true.
Even that way.
Yeah, and I have go ahead, I'm sorry.
You have specific qualities in the way that you communicate, and the more that you can focus on those, the more that you can embody how the world sees you at your best, the more likely you are to feel in the flow and in the groove and to naturally succeed. So describe for me what it's like for you when somebody says, Denise, we're looking for somebody who's going to be respected, competitive, and results-oriented. How does that feel to you?
It feels... absolutely the right fit for me. And what I was going to say is that your description, it was like, how can she know this about me? It was so, not only was it so spot on, but it was also very inspirational and also very affirming in the sense that, you know, these are my advantages. And then your book gave me lots of insights about how do I, lean into those advantages and really use them to make an impact. Now I am curious, to share some of the cautions that I need to be aware of, because, I think there's this great quote that says that, every weakness is a strength overdone or something like that, so there's also a downside to an advantage if it's overdone. Is that correct?
Yes. Your advantages have pitfalls. So there are certain situations in which something that otherwise would be an incredibly effective quality that draws people to you and has them respect you, that if you overdo it, it becomes what I call a double trouble. A double trouble is when you exaggerate a certain trait to such a degree that it turns people off. We all have this. Everybody has a double trouble. And in the book, I describe how you can mathematically figure out what your double trouble is by taking a look at what happens when you exaggerate your strongest trait. You, for example, the victors are fantastic at seeing a goal, going after a goal, but in certain situations when you become stressed or say if you feel under pressure, you're going to become so goal-oriented that you might alienate people around you because you would be so focused on that goal that you wouldn't necessarily see what's going on in your environment. Other people have other double troubles. Mm-hmm. For example, people who are very trustworthy, people who use primary trust advantage, when they double down, in other words, when they're in their double trouble mode, then they become rigid. They are micromanaging. Mm-hmm. They're unmovable. They go for the safe option. They won't try something new. They're predictable. And so my personality has primary passion. That means I love to connect. And even as I'm sitting here talking to you and I'm using hand gestures, even though I'm on the phone. When passion personalities get into double trouble mode, they become too sensitive and too emotional. And so that quality that serves them as an advantage in some situations becomes something that is a liability and that we need to watch out for.
Right. Okay. So let's close with a couple of challenges that I'm sure that you've heard. Now, such as some people may be uncomfortable with the idea of attracting attention and being focused on how they present themselves and how they communicate because it seems so kind of self-promotional. What is your response to that concern?
If you have a message that you want to be heard and you want to make a difference in the world, you need attention in order to do that. It doesn't matter if you have the best idea, if nobody notices or cares. when I was a creative director and I was developing ideas for brands, if I came into a meeting with a genius idea that could transform the course of a company's career, but nobody noticed that idea and nobody cared about idea, I might may as well never had the idea in the first place. In the same way, if you have a message that you want to share with your kids, but they're ignoring you and they don't care about your message, well, then you're probably not going to make that much of a difference. In the same way, all of us have messages that we want to get out there. It might be about our brand. It might be about a nonprofit. It might be something that we believe in very, very strongly. In order for us to have that idea make a difference, then we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our listener, and most of all, we owe it to our message to be the guardian of that message, to be the one that's going to be responsible for making sure that that message is heard, remembered, and acted upon.
That makes so much sense. And what about, I think we need to be careful because some people may say that this may lead people to try to, derive their worth from what others think of them versus understanding that they are, valuable creations in and of themselves, regardless of whether or not others approve of them. And so do you have any thoughts or advice about how we keep, keep centered on that while still working on leveraging our advantages?
Yes, I want you to think about a mirror and looking at yourself in the mirror. It might feel a little bit awkward if you look in the mirror too long. You might feel like you're being vain. A traditional mirror reflects the way that you see yourself with all of your flaws and your insecurities. But imagine if you had a different kind of mirror, and this mirror shows you how other people see you at your best. In other words, when you look into this mirror, you see the qualities people love about you and that they want from you and they need from you. And that when you can embody those qualities, that you become much bigger in the world and you're able to do more. You're able to have more influence. You're able to shape people's opinions and their behavior. You're able to create a bigger network. You're able to create better relationships. That's what this book is. It's showing you how the world sees you at your best so that you can become more of that. Greatest value that you can add is to become more of yourself. So if you really want to contribute to people at a high level, then you don't just need to know how you see the world. You need to know what other people want from you so that you can give it to them.
Sally, you have done a great service by writing this informative, really fascinating book, How the World Sees You. I know that you've already opened my eyes to how I can be more effective as a communicator, as well as how I can work with others better. So please tell my listeners how they can learn more and how they can buy the book.
Wonderful. Well, I love that question. you can get the book at Amazon or your local bookstore, or you can come to howtheworldseesyou.com. And I love connecting with people on Twitter. I'm at Sally Hogshead on Twitter.
Great. Sally, thanks so much for sharing with me today. Best wishes on a continued successful book launch.
Thank you so much, Denise. I know as my fellow author that you and I can clink glasses of champagne and know that when we're writing a book is very different than writing an ad campaign or writing a marketing plan because it's such a journey and such a labor of love. So thank you for allowing me to share this with your listeners.
Oh, thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.